WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy 25th anniversary to you, to us, to everybody out there that's been listening. We will be celebrating on Thursday as part of our Maryland Crab Cake Tour, and Friday. So nice, we had to do it twice. We'll be at the Costas from 11 to 4 on Thursday. I have all sorts of stuff, crap, old stuff. I put pictures up on social media. Check it out. Come on out. Have a crab cake. Say hello. I'm going to try to grab some peach cake. That's 11 to 4 at Costas. Then on Friday, we'll be at Drug City from 11 to 4 as well. I'm not going to have all the stuff with me at Drug City. If you don't get it Thursday, it's going to go to Goodwill, there'll be Goodwill involved. The Orioles provided no Goodwill for the New York Yankees over the weekend. Luke Jones joins us now to talk about, let's see, trading deadline, first place, beating up the Yankees, national TV, Rosenthal's in here kissing their ass Saturday, Buster only had to come in on Sunday night. Only thing missing is Schmuck on a national television broadcast, Luke. It was quite a homecoming weekend, despite the fact that, let's be honest, the Yankees fans took up 40, 50, 60% of the seats. I mean, there were a lot of Yankee fans here.
There were. I don't know if I'd go as high as 60%. Now, Saturday, it felt like a little bit more. Friday and Sunday night, not as many.
And I think the rain chased local people away. If you drove in from Arlington to see the Yankees, you'll sit in the rain. You'll wait.
Yeah, and we've talked about this in recent years. I mean, I think even in recent years, I mean, Yankees and Red Sox weren't drawing at Camden Yards. I think even Yankee fans were looking at it and saying, you know what?
Been there.
They're probably saying we're not as good this year and we're not happy with our own team, but let's go back to Camden Yards. We'll root on the Yankees, but the Orioles are way better. So I think there was some of that going on as well.
There was vibe in a way that there has not. I mean, dude, you're there every night. You've been there for 30-3. You've been there 17. It's been 17 years since they've thrown me out now. I don't know that I've been there 17 times in 17 years. You've been there for everything. This weekend looked different to me. Even after the rain delay, when they start at 10 o'clock at night, it felt like football energy. It felt like who's your daddy, Pedro Martinez energy.
It really was, and I think Friday night was what was most impressive to me, even though it was the smallest crowd, even as in terms of announced attendance, ahead of time. It was, 34,500, but 2.5 hour rain delay on Friday, very few people left, and I get it. It's a Friday night. It's summer, so parents a little more lax with their kids and all that, but it's an electric atmosphere. I mean, Saturday, obviously not as much for the Orioles to cheer about. Yankee fans were very much heard in that game when the Yankees went 8-3. But Sunday night, it was a little more of a late arriving crowd. At first, when I saw it at first pitch, I said, oh, I thought there'd be more people, but it filled in pretty nicely. And, ended up being 37,000, and it was nice to see people in the left field upper deck, as you and I have talked about that talking point.
Free the bird seats, as I have gone through. By the way, I went through all the archives, dude. I got some archival stuff here coming in the next 6 months. It's going to be a lot of fun for folks. Stuff that folks don't remember seeing or never saw at all. So that's part of the anniversary magic around here.
Yeah, and it's exciting because you're talking about basically two teams over the last 25, 30, even going back 40 years that, that the Orioles are kind of trying to approach here. 2014, and they did win 96 games that year. They really finished strong that year. And 97, of course, the wire-to-wire team. So, you take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, and I get it. These aren't your typical Yankees. They're last place Yankees.
Well, they don't feel last place when Aaron Judge is launching it into orbit and Stanton, and you look and you're like, oh, Judge and Stanton, together they make more than like the Orioles by a lot, the whole team.
They do, but the Yankees would love to get rid of Giancarlo Stanton at this point in time. When you look at the contract he has, Aaron Judge, that's a different matter. And I think the Orioles and Brandon Hyde, even though if they wouldn't say it, they're probably glad that Judge was out of the lineup on Sunday night. But look, you take 2 out of 3 from anyone in the AL East, and when you consider where the standings kind of fall right now, we've talked so much about Tampa Bay. This is going to be a huge 4-game set that they're in Toronto for, and the Blue Jays, go look at what their record is since the beginning of June. It's almost identical to the Orioles. So, they're hanging in there, and this could be a very pivotal series for them, but you take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. I mean, vibes are not good in the Bronx right now, and we'll see what happens in the final hours leading up to the trade deadline for them. And the Yankees are never sellers, but are they going to make any moves that are going to move the needle? I don't know. They need a lot. I mean, that lineup, especially without Aaron Judge, not very impressive. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. That's been talked about a lot over the last couple months with Judge having been out. So the Orioles do what you need to do at home and win 2 out of 3. And it's an electric atmosphere on Friday night after the rain delay. Saturday was the biggest crowd, but certainly, with what developed with Tyler Wells and him having been sent down to Double-A Bowie, we'll get into that. But Sunday night baseball, first time in 5 years, 7-run first inning. I mean, you can't ask for much better than that. Would have been nice to see Dean Kramer go deeper into the game. So they did have to use the bullpen a little more than you would have liked. But, a 9-3 win to cap off a really fun weekend. And to bounce back a little bit after, let's face it, the heels of a disappointing Phillies series loss last week was good to see. And, we'll continue to talk about the trade deadline and what the Orioles are, what they aren't, what they need, what they don't need. But they continue to roll and they continue to be in first place in the AL East. And that's just very, very impressive. Even for the most optimistic of Orioles fans, you couldn't have anticipated that as they're entering the month of August.
Well, the Santander walk-off, and then, they're not going to win 4 out of 3 in every series. They're just not. I mean, the Philly series, you talk about the disappointment, whatever. You're competing in the other league, on the road, against the World Series team. You drop one. You know what I mean? Like, as far as I see it, I don't expect them to just steamroll good teams. And the Yankees are still a good team. They're not a great team. They're not what they were, but these are good teams. These are teams that 2 out of 3, as Meatloaf once said, ain't so bad. I guess the real story here is trying to figure out where your pitching is, let alone Verlander or Scherzer getting dealt or Otani not getting dealt, or whether you're going to have to give up Jordan Westberg, who walks off, does the walk of shame on Sunday night, and everybody thinks he's going to get dealt before midnight. I would say for them, the Tyler Wells thing, that is, I mean, if Rodriguez is up, that's great. And he's doing great. That's great. Means is coming. That's great. But you can't lose one of the guys you had, right? So that's very disappointing and very problematic at this particular point where they're going to need some starting pitching in the next few weeks.
Yeah, and you look at it, it's not just Tyler Wells. I mean, he's the obvious one because you just look at since the All-Star break. And Brandon Hyde even said going back to his final start in Minnesota where, the results were okay, but the stuff wasn't quite as electric, wasn't missing as many bats. And we've really seen it in his 3 starts since the All-Star break. I mean, just not right. Absolutely not even close to being right. 11 earned runs allowed, 11 or 9 walks in 9 innings. I mean, this is a guy who went at least 5 innings in every single appearance he had in the first half. I mean, Tyler Wells, other than Bradish, had been their best starter in the first half of the season. So it is a little alarming, and you look at it in terms of he still has the second best ERA, still has the second best wins above replacement of the guys in their starting rotation. But I think it was very clear looking at the eyeball test that you needed to take a step back with him. And that's what they're going to do. He's sent to Double-A Bowie, and it's not that they're embarrassing him or sending a message or anything like that. They want him close by, and he's going to get a little bit of a rest. They're going to, I don't know if the term is deload, in terms of his workload, they kind of take a step back. I think it's very plausible, even though the Orioles aren't saying that now, that depending on what happens with the trade deadline, and we'll get into that in another conversation, but he could wind up in the bullpen. And maybe that's something that, allows you to fortify the middle of your bullpen or give you another guy that, can be an option in the 7th inning. We'll just have to see how it plays out. But
Cole Irvin role. You're talking about a different role.
Yeah, no, exactly. Not talking about mop-up duty. We'd be talking about a case where, maybe he would do what Kevin Gausman did for the Orioles in 2014, if you recall, was a big part of their bullpen in that run. So, and again,
well, if Kramer's only going to go 90 pitches into the 5th inning, somebody better be there ready to pick it up and give you 40 pitches and get you to the 7th or 8th inning, right?
Yeah, and that's what's so tough about this, Nestor, because, I mean, Wells is the most, in your face right now because he had struggled so much the last couple times out, but you look at Kramer, you look at Kyle Bradish, who's been their best starting pitcher. And certainly we've talked so much about Grayson Rodriguez. I mean, all 3 of these guys right now are on a pace to not just exceed their career high in innings, but blow past it. So, how do you massage that a little bit? How do you consider that? And that's not to say these innings limits are set in stone. They're not gospel, but you do want to consider everything. And in the case of Wells, I don't think it was just the innings. I think it was the fact that, you know, his command had really been off. I mean, this is a guy who didn't walk many people over the first half of the season. I mean, he had at one point the best whip in the American League, walks and hits per innings pitched. His only issue in the first half of the season was giving up the, you know, a few too many solo home runs. So for him to struggle the way he did, he says he's okay. But even in his last start over the weekend against the Yankees on Saturday night, velocity was down a little bit. Not dramatically, but down enough where it was noticeable. So they want to pause with him, take the foot off the accelerator a little bit, give him a chance.
Cool him down for a couple weeks, get him back up here middle of August, right?
Yeah, I think that's what you're looking for. You know, I mean, I don't think this is a case where he's a maybe or an if. I think
he's not going to be on the playoff roster, right? Like he's going to be a part of that.
Well, no, I wouldn't dismiss that possibility. What I'm saying is, you know, depending on what happens with the trade deadline, depending on what happens with their other starters. Again, we're talking about a few different young guys here. I mean, it might be that Tyler Wells gets 2 weeks of rest slash lighter work in the minors, and then he's back. And maybe, I don't know, they might have to do the same thing with Kyle Bradish or Dean Kramer, who wasn't great on Sunday night. I mean, you know, there's still two months to go. That's what I
well,
think
to the
so
fan base, we're playing playoff games already. To Elias, it's we're not good enough. And that would speak to the trading deadline and him and Angelos on TV Sunday night burning up the phones and all that, that I don't think we look at them and think they're good enough right now, right? Like, despite beating the Yankees, whatever happened against Philadelphia last week and all their hiccups against the Twins last month and losing for a couple of days, I think we look at it and say, they could use help. They're going to need to be better than this in October and more consistent over a month in order to win a World Series.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing I'll say about that, to not make it sound so doom and gloom, I think a lot of teams are saying that right now. I don't think there are too many teams in baseball. I mean, the Orioles still have the best record in the AL. So if we're talking
about
the
Braves,
Orioles
feel good about themselves and those pajamas they were wearing over the weekend, I saw.
Yeah, they do until you get into a short series in the divisional round and you never know, right? I mean, the Dodgers are the perfect case study for this over the last 7 or 8 years. I mean, how many times they've looked invincible in the regular season, and then you get to October and you don't know. So
yeah, 115 wins doesn't mean anything in game one.
If you get, especially if you lose in the divisional round, you know, if you're bounced really early.
Well, you also have to sit around if you get the bye. I went back and did the math on this last year because between I was watching the Padres and the Phillies last year and Padres beating up on the Dodgers. I mean, I have vague memories of all of that, but I mean, there's four games a day for a month, right? Like you sit there and you go back and you're thinking, oh yeah, the Cardinals and the Dodgers had to go home and pound sand. So did the Yankees. The teams that waited last year, it was a mixed bag that if you win 104, 105 games and the Orioles skyrocket and they're the one seed or the two seed, they're going to get 4, 5, or 6 days off before they play. And that's weird. I don't know how to even – I don't say we don't want to be that team. You don't want to have to play another series. You don't have to play a short series. But I have looked at that week of October, and I'm like, eh, there's a couple of days there. I better keep them open because I'm trying to get scheduling together and saying, you know, where am I going to be? What's going on? Who are the Ravens playing? What's And if the Orioles were to get 4 or 5 days off, I don't – we'd sit here and be like – oh boy, you know, how is this going to go? Because it's going to get tight in October, and you're going to want Verlander. You're going to want something that's not Dean Kramer or Tyler Wells going. You're going to want a dude. And I don't know if Kyle Gibson's a dude, although he did a really nice job of retelling the you weren't watching the TV broadcast. They told the bong story as though the bong never existed, as though this was a garden hose from the very beginning, and this was an idea that was born of being in the backyard with mom and the hose. Fictional.
Yeah.
But I would say that if Kyle Gibson's your game one starter, I mean, I guess you feel okay about that, but do you feel okay about that for 3-4 series going into October?
Yeah, and I mean, look, it's still to be determined. I mean, right now, Kyle Bradish has been their best starter. So, but where is he going to be innings wise? Where is he going to be rest wise? How's he going to feel stuff wise? And again, there are 2 months to go in the regular season. And I don't say this to say that the Orioles are in trouble. It's just you're trying to project this out.
It's a long race.
Yeah, it is.
This is the Belmont, and they're on the back stretch here. You know, it's a long, long stretch run in September when you need pitching.
and they're leading. So, you know, we're going to see how this plays out here over the next couple days with the trade deadline and see what other teams are doing. I mean, the Texas Rangers right now trying to load up. It's very evident what they're trying to do. But also keep in mind some of the injuries they've had. You know, they signed Jacob DeGrom in the offseason and he had Tommy John surgery. So you kind of think about where they were expecting to be and where they are. You know, all these teams are looking at this, and that's
we're still paying Chris Davis. I want to point that out. Thank you, Rangers, for sending him here.
About the only guy they're paying right now, keep in mind. So, but look, I mean, it's been a wonderful season. It was a great weekend. Take two out of three from the Yankees, as you said. You don't never take that for granted. You can't expect to sweep every series, and it really does speak to how far the Orioles have come when. As you pointed out, you lose a series to the Phillies, and it felt disappointing because they had a chance to take at least two out of three in that series, if not all three. So, you know, it just comes down to what deals are presented to you. I still think we're at a place until we really know what this looks like with Mike Elias as a buyer with this organization and specifically ownership, their willingness to add payroll or not add payroll. And I'm not talking just the deadline. I'm talking this offseason. I'm talking next trade deadline, the offseason after that. You know, these are still to be determined. They've done a fantastic job getting to this point, but now what can you do to get yourself over the hump? And that's not to say that this present season is going to be their best chance. At the same time, it is a chance. It is an opportunity when you talk about a team that enters the Toronto series, what, 23 games over 500 with the best record in the AL. So how do you balance that with wanting to maintain the long-term health of your farm system so you're still in great position next year, the year after that, 5 years from now? So you're weighing all those things. And I don't say that to be wishy-washy. Every team is weighing those decisions. My goodness, we spent so much time talking about the Angels and Ohtani and the possibility of him selling. They became buyers, whether it's wise or not. They've changed. The Padres, you know, who knows? I mean, all these teams are trying to make these decisions. The Orioles are at the beginning of what you hope is a nice long window of having an opportunity to not just make the playoffs, but advance, have a chance to get to a World Series at some point in time. But you do look at where they are right now. And, you know, I've even seen some of my friends speak about this on various social media channels where, you know, you do look at the state of the starting pitching right now. And even if they bring in a starter, even if they bring in two starters, you're still going to have some questions about these young guys who, let's face it, you know, in the case of a Kyle Bradish, in the case of a Tyler Wells up until the last couple of weeks, they've been a big reason why they are where they are right now, this club. So at the same time, you have to look at reality and say, all right, these guys haven't pitched this deep into a season as a starter that entire time. You know, how do you balance that? How do you want to keep them healthy? How do you want to keep them effective for the club and get them to a point where they're pitching in October? So yep. That's not an easy thing. And I'm not saying that you just shut them down either. Let's be very clear about that. But these are all the factors that Mike Elias and this front office is trying, and Brandon Hyde and the coaching staff, they're trying to weigh that and try to figure out what are we going to do to have these guys in position where we're presumably in the tournament, we're presumably in the playoffs, you know, barring a major collapse or anything like that. You know, so what can you do to give yourself the best chance to win? In the case of Tyler Wells, the Orioles thought we need to take our foot off the gas with this guy and see if a couple weeks of rest and some low stress environment of pitching a little bit at Bowie just to stay sharp, and then see where you are with your rotation. See where you are with the bullpen in a couple weeks. And you know, the expectation is Tyler Wells will factor in, and you hope he's going to factor in some important way. You just don't know exactly what that role is going to be.
Luke Jones is here. He will be there at Ravens camp all week, the Orioles in Toronto, and then getting back home against the Metsies all weekend long. You can find him at Baltimore, Luke. You can find me on Thursday at Costas. We're celebrating 25 years. Yes, Thursday is our 25th anniversary. It all started on August 3rd back in 1998. I have all the evidence. I'll be bringing it with me, Get Nasty shirts, Free the Bird shirts, stuff that I have, swag laying around, old defense signs and Wacko for Flacco signs and Ray Lewis signs, if Spank the Yanks signs. We have Clobber Cleveland signs. We have Stomp Them Saints signs. We have Bag the Jag signs, all available on Thursday over at Costa. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, entering a new month. There'll be a new deal. Make sure you know about that. Also, our friends at the Maryland Lottery, you'll have some fresh scratch-offs to give away on Thursday at Costa's and again on Friday at Drug City. So nice we had to do it twice. 25 years of celebration. If you hear some old-school conversations on the air here this week, doesn't mean we don't love the Orioles or we're not paying attention to the Ravens practice in early August. But we are going to be sharing some great, great memories around here as well. And Luke, I'm going to break the news to you at some point here this week. 25 memories, 25 greatest memories in the history of WNST. The night we took Dion into Putty Hill Station, the night Trent Dilfer came out and cried on our air before winning the Super Bowl. We've had so many things here, so many road trips. There was Pittsburgh and Indianapolis and Foxborough again and Foxborough again. So there's all those things that we do. We'll be having the pictures and the videos and telling those stories. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation. And Leonard Raskin, I've got his crab mallet around here. I am going to put that to work on some crabs on Thursday night at Costa. So come on out and enjoy. Enjoy first place with the Orioles. Enjoy a season of hope with the Ravens. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, celebrating 25 years. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.